From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. As 2020 census efforts continue throughout the United States, Alaska is well behind other states. In fact, the only thing that's keeping Alaska from being in last place is Puerto Rico. And KNBA's Trip Krause reports that the coronavirus could impact how census takers in rural Alaska fill that gap.
More than 92 million households in the U.S. have already responded to the 2020 census, with a national average of more than 62% of households. But less than half of Alaska households have self-responded. During a national teleconference, the U.S. Census Bureau shared updates about the count efforts among American Indian and Alaska Native communities. Donna Bach is a tribal partnership specialist in Alaska for the U.S. Census Bureau.
We are continuing to work diligently to make sure that everyone in Indian country gets counted, as well as provide the importance about the distribution of power and the federal funding that hinges on census participation, despite the situation with COVID.
Bach says the 2020 census is still in the self-response phase of the count. The next phase is the non-response follow-up phase. It's the phase that most people associate with the census, where census takers go door to door to households that haven't responded to make sure that everyone gets counted. Census data is often used by national organizations and agencies to distribute federal funding, which is why it's critical to get accurate data on Alaska's residents. Elena Kappelman is a tribal partnership specialist for Washington State.
Census takers are going to be following the social distancing protocols, including any of the state, local, and tribal health and safety regulations. They have been issued PPE, which includes masks and hand sanitizer.
She says census takers will have a census-provided cell phone to record data, as well as an ID badge and other identifiable markers. But census partners and advocates like Donna Bach say they hope people self-respond, particularly amid the pandemic.
During the non-response follow-up phase is where those remaining households will be invited once again to respond. And to avoid essentially the knock on the door or a visit is why we're highly encouraging and promoting a telephonic or an internet response.
Many parts of Alaska that have lower response rates, such as the Slope, Interior, and other rural areas, are also seeing an increase in coronavirus cases.
And this has also been, you know, a stressor even right now for the field operations out of the area census office with current local mandates or communities that have, you know, shut down or have different levels of access protocols in anticipation of the non-response follow-up. There are challenges, but we are working together collaboratively with our area census office managers and the census field staff to have the best up-to-date information so that, you know, we can mitigate as much as possible any sort of spread of COVID.
Bach says she's been talking with boroughs, municipalities, and tribal government leaders to get up-to-date information about coronavirus from those communities. She says the census also plans to hire as many people to count as they can locally to limit potential spread. But Bach continues to hold out hope, and in a later interview says the census is too important to Alaska not to be optimistic.
I am a glasses half full versus empty type of person. I feel positive that, you know, the very basics of how to pave or shape the future is to take less than 10 minutes to do this very simple civic activity called the 2020 census. And so much hinges on this data in terms of, you know, the growing number of statistics, how we're able to track, you know, information that Alaska is going to need for the next 10 years.
The Census Bureau will continue to work toward collecting complete field data until its deadline, October 31st. For more information, go to 2020census.gov. In Anchorage, I'm Trip Krause.
The 2020 Alaska Day Festival in Sitka has been canceled. Although the October holiday is more than 2 months away, festival organizers are discouraged by the steady increase in coronavirus infections in the state and decided it was best to stand down for this year. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Alaska Day is just a day off in many parts of the state. But in Sitka, it's like Bastille Day, and the 4th of July had a baby, and that baby grew up to play bagpipes. This has been happening in Sitka since 1949, 71 years. Military bands, formal balls, a parade, political candidates, flyovers, the works. And Elaine Strelo has been there much of that time.
I happen to go back to 1966 with a few years leave in between, off and on.
Like many other communities, Sitka scaled down its July 4th celebration this year to a few widely spaced food booths behind the Elks Club and an 11:30 p.m. fireworks show. But with fishing season in full swing and many people out earning a living on the water, July 4th has always felt like a dress rehearsal for Alaska Day.
At 4th of July time, I was much more hopeful that the pandemic would have been more controlled than it has been to date, and that we wouldn't be reverting in many cases.
It did not take long for Strelo's optimism to turn to frustration, however. Alaska's low infection rate last spring was a model for other states. Now that's flipped, and some models show us with among the highest per capita transmission of the COVID-19 virus. Strelo and her fellow organizers are unhappy about this fact, but they feel they are acting in the best interest of everyone to cancel the festival this year.
Oh, you can only begin to imagine how sad I have been about that. If you got to keep 6 feet apart and all the, you know, wear masks and so forth, we just couldn't see how we could make it happen.
The year off may have one upside. It could give some breathing room for renewed conversation about the Alaska Day Festival and what it represents. An active dialogue about decolonization has emerged around the holiday, along with a concurrent mourning ceremony to acknowledge the suffering and loss of Indigenous people at the hands of colonizing powers. Strelo herself is trying to find a balance that reflects the community, but recognizes how the historic events of Alaska Day reshaped modern world empires.
We may have various differences in the community, different perspectives, and I think most of us on Alaska Day organization have tried to be respectful of other perspectives and tried to provide opportunities for people to express those that we might better understand.
Strelo and the other festival organizers are confident that the event will be back in October 2021. In the meantime, we'll just have to suffer an entire year without bagpipes. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Wolfe.
The Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes has a proposal to build not one, but two reentry housing facilities in Lemon Creek for men recently released from prison. Talia Ames is the reentry and recovery manager for Central Council. During a neighborhood meeting last week, she said affordable housing is a major hurdle people face when trying to get their lives back on track after prison. It's one of the reasons they often end up going back. Ames says two out of three people return to prison within 3 years. They want to help change that.
We want people that are ready. We want them to be eager to come in and to have training and resources, employment assistance. We want to make sure that we are creating a cohort of peers that work together to be successful.
Residents will pay rent and serve the community by volunteering. They expect residents to stay between 6 months and 2 years, and they say the buildings will have 24-hour surveillance and spaces for cultural activities and family time. Ames said they will work closely with parole officers in Lemon Creek Correctional Center. Plans include a case manager and resident manager working on site. Sex offenders will not be accepted. One of the properties is near the Juneau Police Department headquarters. The other is near Forget Me Not Manor, another supportive housing facility in Lemon Creek. Wayne Coogan testified that neighbors with young families near the proposed facilities are worried about the impact.
I acknowledge the noble and virtuous efforts that are involved in this thing. But there is another side to it. And I think that the people that are trying to make a home down there in that neighborhood, the compatibility issue is a grave one.
Other testimony was overwhelmingly supported. with several members of the local social services community saying that housing support is extremely important for those re-entering society. This is KTOO News.